This is a mother-daughter podcast, but it is not for kids. This podcast will be discussing adult subject matter that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion advised.
Especially to the Big Eight, and welcome back to season 2, episode 1 of the Don't Look podcast. Woo. I am Kat's mom.
And I'm Kat.
And if you're joining us for the first time and you don't already know, this is a podcast where I watch uncomfortable movies with my daughter.
So you don't have to with your daughter or son or
family member or preacher,
or neighbor down the street, or
guy you just met.
Any and all of the above.
So we've took a little bit of time off, and now
not that long really.
We're right back at it because we couldn't stay away from our Big Eight listeners.
We felt that you guys needed us in your lives,
and honestly, I just missed you.
We did miss you.
I like doing it for the people.
Yeah,
service.
I'm people. Really proud of us for coming back. Because I did not think that we were going to. I figured once we stopped, I was like, if we're going to stop, this is going to be where it is. And we actually did it. So go us.
Oh my God, you thought we were going to stop?
Lately.
Oh my God. I'm like really sad.
I just, if we were to lose momentum, that would have been where we lost momentum.
Well, it was your idea to take time off. So did you have a secret plan to never come back?
Big Eight? Not at all. I did not have a secret plan to not come back. I am very thankful that we did come back. I just like when there's a little break so that way we don't burn ourselves out on doing this.
I'm not burnt out.
Yeah, but you
this
don't
is joy.
You don't edit or do any of that stuff. You just record and post on social.
I'm the eye candy, baby.
One can see.
It's the dulcet tones of my voice.
So you're the ear candy.
Back. I'm the ear candy.
There you go.
I'm the ear candy. I'm just the talent.
Should we have shirts that say ear candy?
That's gross.
That's gross. That's
so gross. So, I mean, you know, what's been going on since the last time we talked to the Big Eight?
We went to the East Coast Honors.
East Coast Honors Convention.
That was an amazing time.
Oh my God, I had so much fun. It was like the best 2 days ever.
I think we teased it a little bit before we left, and I think I know we posted it on our socials, but yeah, it was such a good time.
So much I want to do now.
Yes. This remember,
all I want to do forever.
For those of you who have listened before, do you remember when we went to mask camp and we came back? And
the monster camp.
Yes, where we made masks.
Yes, but it's called monster camp. I don't want to get it wrong.
I know. I just figured that people would know what I was talking about.
Well, I just want to be clear.
Yes.
I don't want to disappoint the Big Eight.
Okay. Do you remember when we went to monster camp and we made masks and then we came back and my mom was like, all I want to do now is make masks. It's that, but more.
It's so much worse.
Yes, because now she knows pneumatics and makeup skills.
I don't know any of it, but I'm going to learn
so much.
Well,
she's like learning all of this stuff.
It's going to be so great. I'm picking up my first pneumatics project. And then there's a Facebook group that I'm in. I'm in the Yard Haunter Facebook group. So if anybody out there haunts their yard and they want a group to be in, this is the one. Get in it. And they're doing a contest for yard haunts. And I can win. So I really want to make sure I do a good job this year. I want my casket lid to... These are my goals.
Okay.
I want my casket lid to move because I was told to purchase the wrong motor last year. So I know what motor I need. I want that to move. I want my lid lifter pneumatics prop that I think I'm going to put out front with Steve Fishman.
Wait, hold on. How is that different from the casket lid moving?
That's just like, it's different motor entirely. It's a whole different setup.
But is the end result different?
It's completely different. Because it's just going to, the casket lid's just going to kind of like slide open. My lid lifter is going to go straight up and down. And then like a creature will be in it.
Oh, okay. There is something in it. Okay.
A creature will pop out.
Cool.
And I want a...
it's like that banjo playing skeleton from that one episode of Bob's Burgers.
Might be.
On the hayride.
You don't know me.
10 points to anyone who gets that reference.
I freaking love that episode.
It's so good. It's so weird. With the pig.
Yeah, she's a pig. I hate it.
It's the worst because it's that awful pig, but...
I want to do a flying crank ghost.
Oh.
Yeah. Just like, I think because we had a shrubbery incident in the yard, and now I have like a space...
Yeah, that's
where
true.
I could put a flying crank ghost that goes like this. I wish you could see the cool moves I'm doing, but you can't.
You can't, and I can't record it to post
but
later.
But I am totally, perfectly imitating a flying crank ghost, which I'm going to build. So those are, plus, one more thing.
Plus Steve Fishman? Like, are you talking about for Halloween still? Yeah.
Yeah, one more thing. The build. I mean, I think getting the casket lid to move is just... I think that's just going to be a thing that I can do.
Right.
But build-wise, new builds for this year.
Well, we have to do the whole exterior for our shed.
Well, yeah, aside from all that. But, like, prop-wise.
Okay. That's not a prop.
The flying cranker.
Uh-huh.
The lid lifter. And, the other thing that I wanted to do.
Oh, that other thing.
The perpetually drinking swamp witch.
Oh, yay. Yeah,
picking
yeah,
my
yeah.
cauldron for.
You want to do a swamp witch, you've decided.
She's going to be a swamp witch, yes.
You are a big fan of the swamp witch.
I like a swamp witch.
That's one of your life goals, is to become a swamp witch?
I think a swamp would be a comfortable place for me to live.
I would like to be a cartoon character. And my mother would like to be a swamp witch.
I feel like my goals are more attainable.
No, I feel like I'm already, like, most of the way there to my goal. Because I already wear pretty much the same thing every day. Which is very cartoon character.
That's not entirely true.
If I didn't have to dress for work, I would wear... And I didn't have to worry about weather. I would wear...
It's a lot of ifs.
Almost the exactly same thing every day.
Ifs and buts wear candy and
Well,
nuts.
Here's the thing is I already... Not including work. I definitely did it more in high school. And then now I have to, like, dress for work. But when I'm not, I'm wearing, like, the same thing. I'm wearing black skinny jeans, a black t-shirt, and a sweatshirt. That's normally one of the same, like, two or three sweatshirts.
Well, how about when I dress for work, I wear the same thing every time?
Yeah, but you have a uniform.
So I'm closer to that cartoon character.
You have
life.
A uniform, though. If I had... I feel like if I wore the same thing every day to work, people would start to get a little sus on if I'm washing it or not.
There's only one way to find out.
How far can I push it before people
before
notice?
Before somebody says something. It's like the episode of The Office where they're like, Stanley just doesn't notice anything, and then they get progressively weirder to see if he says something
the
about
thing
it.
Is, I would have to just smell amazing. So there would be no question that it's clean. I would just have to, like,
well,
be,
I would
like
just
rock in a signature
get,
scent.
Like, the same outfit.
Well, yeah, I know. But yeah. I feel like I still need to, like,
overcompensate
for that.
Oh, I don't know. That's on you. I would just write it out and just be the team. Just see how far you can go.
See how far I go.
Before somebody says
I
something.
I am very tempted.
You made us look like you have a rich social life where you just never go home. And change. You're always wearing the same clothes you were wearing yesterday.
Just slightly more disheveled as the week
You gotta
goes
have
on.
Like a club stamp on your hand.
One of those little, like, over 21 wrist bracelets.
Some like makeup smeared. Just come in.
Just put a hickey like right under my clothes.
A hickey? No. Oh my god. A hickey from Kinnicky is like a Hallmark card.
That one's, that's pushing it a little
Nobody's
bit
gonna buy that one.
Like, hell yeah.
The vacuum.
any other exciting life updates from between? Oh, well, not for us and not yet.
I just want to talk about ghosts.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to talk about too.
I only want to talk about ghosts. Because right here, right now, it's
yeah, right
be
here,
out.
Right now is coming out like a few days after this episode's going out. Like 5 days after.
Yeah, so. Something like that. And we will be seeing it very shortly after that.
We're not seeing it on the day that it comes out?
Well, I have to work that day, so I don't know if it's going to be that day.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you had to work that day. My bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's
going to
be
like we're definitely going to see it.
We're definitely going to see that.
And we're
going to
wear our LA shirts, and we're going to tell everyone that we were there.
Yeah, I was at the LA show.
I was at the LA show.
I was totally at the LA show, and I was lightly surprised. I got some mommy dust.
I am fully convinced we're going to, like, roll up in there with our LA show shirts on. And
so will everybody else.
Someone's going to see it, and they're going to be like, oh, you were at the LA show? Yeah, we were there both days in the front row, like, one of those things. And I'm just going to be like, I'm a girl. And then I'll fight
VIP,
them.
Blah, blah, blah. And we'll be like, okay, whatever.
We had a good time, and our little C-store was amazing.
Yes. So I'm really hyped. That's coming out. I can't wait to see what happens. I don't know if we're going to get a pop of five.
Pop of five? Question mark, question mark.
I'm not ready. No, are we taking all of the potatoes with us?
If we're taking all of the potatoes, we need a potato carrier.
A potato carrier, like a little six-pack holder of potatoes. Just like, or like one of those like ammunition belts that come around and just like a potato and everyone.
I think that's what we need to do. We need to make little potato ammunition belts. Maybe for all the dupes, because all the dupes are roughly the same size. But the officials need like
they're so
their
large.
Own special thing.
They're so large comparatively.
Comparatively.
Well, I'm hype. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm
think
hype
it's gonna
as well.
Be awesome.
It's gonna be sick. I know all the guesties are hype as well.
I know. And guesties are hype. Everybody
guesties
is
are
like
real hype.
Freaking out. I'm freaking out. I don't blame them. I think it's gonna be awesome. I can't wait. I cannot wait to relive that again because we haven't been able to.
No.
And it's just like I just think back and I'm like, did that really happen? Yes, I think it did. It really happened. But I mean, it's like I was there, I saw it, but I still have trouble like remembering everything that went on.
Right.
Because I was overwhelmed.
I was so overwhelmed that I think I legit stopped breathing for like most of the show.
You probably did. You probably did. And you had to do your cricket hop.
Oh, God. Don't talk about that. That's so embarrassing. This is why people don't do podcasts with their mom.
Well, hey, as I recall, this was your idea, and I can talk about your cricket hop if I want to.
I would prefer you didn't. Here's what happens, y'all. When I get excited, I stop breathing and also forget how my legs work.
Yeah, so she just hops up and down a little bit with one foot in front of the other. It's really wild. She doesn't really go anywhere. Just stays stationary. Just like hopping up and down. Like I don't even think your feet leave the ground. It's kind of like a bounce. I don't know how you would say.
It's really cute. It's just so much energy inside. And then so I can't do anything with it.
I just think I exploded into a fine mist at some point.
It was
and then coalesced
wonderful.
At the end of the show.
I just remember all of us sobbing as Papa's giving his speech. And then he like fricked up his speech and we're like, it's okay, Papa, don't worry.
Oh yeah, he screwed up the words.
Yeah, he messed up the words and he's like, oh, I'm all tongue-tied, I'm sorry. And we're all like, don't worry, okay, I love you.
So if you get a chance and you're a guestie, go out and see
it. If you need
a buddy to go with, hit us up. Although this is going to be after it comes out probably. No, it'll be before.
It'll be before, yeah, we just said that, yeah.
Yeah, hit us up because we're going and we're in. And the ghost community is a wonderful community. So we're happy to be friends with everybody.
Yep.
All right.
If you just want someone to like digest it with afterwards, hit us up.
Hit us up because, man, we have a lot to talk about.
Oh, 100%. Do you want to? All right. So we want to do like a little bit of intro for this season, like intro our director or, you know, something along those lines.
All right. So if you're a fan of the pod, if you're one of the big eight, I should say, because I think that's probably all we got.
Well, I do want to clarify, we have more people that like listen, but the eight is like who listen like right when it comes out and listen to every episode.
Well, they're the only ones that I make this for.
Okay.
Because they're my loyal homies. And you know, I'm a Scorpio person.
You are.
So that trust, that bond is very important to me.
It is.
So it's for you that I do this. I just want you guys to know that, big eight. So if you're in the know, if you're one of them, if you're one of us, You know, last season we had, we went full Kubrick.
Kubrick.
So
Kubrick.
We had one revolution around Stanley Kubrick, and we went from
The Shining.
The Shining all the way around to
A Clockwork Orange.
Which is an amazing time.
It is.
So this year, or this season, we picked another director.
Now, and we had done Kubrick before because he's like one of our favorite directors and there's a lot of meat on that bone. And we were tempted to do Kubrick again.
I could always do more Kubrick.
But we wanted to mix it up.
I'm going to throw some Kubrick in here. Don't feel like you're going to be bereft.
There will always be Kubrick on this podcast. Because,
I mean, God, there's plenty of uncomfortable moments in pretty much any. I won't torture you guys with Barry Lyndon, but, I mean, you know, there's plenty of other things to see.
So we picked a new director.
Yes. And I think because we were so emotionally scarred last season, we could only go towards our guy Darren Aronofsky after he pretty much mutilated us with Requiem for a Dream last season.
I'm still not over it. I don't know that I will
ever be over that movie. You can't get over it.
I think I mentioned this when we were doing A Clockwork Orange, but I might not have. When I was looking up the trailer to put in the like middle bit, they did like the the director's cut re-release. And they're like, you swore you'd never watch it again, but here you are. And it's like, yeah, I never want to watch this again.
No, I didn't want to watch it again. I mean, it was a long time after I saw it the first time.
I don't even know what's in the direct. Like, what else could they have added?
I don't want to know.
I don't know that I want
to. Yeah, I mean, it was many, many years for me before I watched it again. And I don't feel that I'm better off for having done it.
No.
I feel worse. And I knew it was coming, and it didn't make it better.
No.
It might have made it worse.
It's really awful.
It's just a terrible thing. It's just like the worst bits of everything in there. And I mean, you know, kudos for, you know, someone who has the ability to make you feel like that even after, you know, a good significant bit of time where everyone's still kind of talking about it. Like, how could you do this to me? I feel so awful. So we had no choice but to revisit the same director and be like, okay, let's do it again.
And torture ourselves more.
Torture ourselves again, all over again. But as with last season, we're going to pick something a little bit on the tamer side and then, you know, build up over the course of the season to more and more horrific things. So, I mean, you know, we may start off like a little bit on the slower side, but I promise you we have some faith melters that are going to be coming up, you know. And of course, same as last time, if we get like a sleeper hit or if there's something new that pops up on the scene where everybody is chatting about it, we will absolutely alter, you know, our tentative list and throw it in there like we did with Saltburn. So, I mean, we're not afraid to play around. And, you know, if any of the Big Eight have any suggestions, please feel free to let us know. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to tell you what our first movie is, I guess. I mean, unless you have anything else you want to do first.
No. Ma, what is our first movie that we're kicking off season two with? Pride Month special.
Happy Pride Month from the DLP. We're going to ease into the season with The Black Swan. This came out in 2010. It is rated R and it has a running time of 1 hour and 48 minutes. And it has a delightful cast of characters. We have Natalie Portman, who you guys may or may not remember from the Star Wars episodes, which a cat has no idea. I think they came out when you were very small.
I think
she was Queen Amidala. She was Padme. Like in the first one where Anakin was like a baby.
I'm not a big Star Wars
fan. She was like 12 when she did that. It was ridiculous.
You guys hate me if you want, but I'm really just not a big Star Wars person.
It's okay, but I think like a lot of people will remember her from that. I mean, she's been in a number of things since then, but I mean, that's like kind of where she came out. It's got Mila Kunis, who everybody may know from That 70s Show. Kat has no clue.
I watched a lot of those, but I did not watch that
She's
one.
She's married to Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, really?
I think.
I know that name.
No, Demi Moore is married to Ashton Kutcher. She was dating Ashton Kutcher. I do don't know who she's married to.
Something with Ashton Kutcher.
She was dating him in the show. Maybe she's married to him. I'm terrible with pop culture. I don't remember.
That's okay. That's okay. Going on.
But there you go. She's in it. And, you know, you got Winona Ryder, who I believe has like a really cool small part in this. That you're kind of like, is that Winona Ryder? So I think that's going to be cool. And then Barbara Hershey, who's been in like a whole ton of things. Probably like Insidious would be one of the bigger ones that people may know her from that might listen to this sort of podcast. So you've got all that going on. Whole cast of other characters I'm not even going to get into because there's a whole bunch of talented ballerinas in here and all that. So, yeah. It's a tender story of a ballerina who wants to be perfect.
And have you seen this one before?
I saw it many, many years ago when it first came out. Yeah.
I did not watch it. Well, I was like 8, 9 when it first came out. Yeah. But I distinctly remember there being a lot of buzz about it. And I remember like certain clips from the trailer.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody remembers the movie poster from it.
Yeah, that poster is gorgeous.
You know, I guess so. I feel like Natalie Portman. What? I don't particularly care for Natalie. Okay. Sorry, Natalie Portman, if you're listening. I doubt you are, but
stylistic and pretty.
You're not my cup of tea, but that's okay. I do remember enjoying this movie for what it was, so I'm pretty hyped to watch it again.
No, yeah, I remember it being like super hyped up, and I remember wanting to watch it at the time, so I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, and there are definitely some sapphic overtones here, so we'll incorporate that to our Pride Month celebration.
Well, yeah, that's why we picked it for Pride Month.
For sure. All right, so... That being said, what are we going to have for snackies?
I don't know. What do ballerinas eat?
Black coffee and cigarettes?
Just one half of a grapefruit in the morning with your black coffee.
I have no idea.
Staring at the fridge that's about to attack you.
I have no idea what ballerinas eat because I have no clue about dance culture or ballet culture
I know that a lot of eating disorders are prevalent in that culture. So maybe we should like go against that and have like a pizza and some cheeseburgers.
Or how about some chicken legs? You know, like legs and a swan, like a chicken. It's a bird.
Okay. Okay. I know you're itching to cook on the grill. So let's do that.
I am. All right. We'll do that. We'll do that. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Okay. Cool. All right. I'm excited because it's been a long time since I've seen this one. So I can't wait to be emotionally scarred again.
You did like such the Joe Bob thing where we like trailed off like we were going to end. And you're like, and also, I'm really excited to watch this movie.
I'll take that as a compliment. All right, we'll see you guys on the other side. Let me pirouette off into the distance.
I had the craziest dream last night about a girl who was turned into a swan. But her prince falls for the wrong girl and she kills herself. He promised to feature me more this season.
Well, he should. You've been there long enough. And you're the most dedicated dancer in the company.
Our new swan queen, the exquisite Nina Sayers.
Oh, Lily, you're gonna be amazing.
I watch the way she moves. Sensual. She's not faking it.
Seduces! Attack it! Attack it! Come on!
Where'd you get these?
It's nothing.
You sweet girl.
Feel my touch. Respond to it.
Someone's hot for teacher. I don't want to talk about that.
You really need to relax.
It's the role, isn't it? It's all this pressure. I knew it'd be too much. I knew it.
What's she doing here? He made me your alternate.
The only person standing in your way is you. After you.
Please believe me.
Sweet girl. Sweet girl.
What happened to my sweet girl?
She's gone.
So, Kat.
Yeah?
How many ballerinas does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. How many ballerinas does it take to change a light bulb?
50.
50?
Yeah. One to change the bulb and 49 to say they could have done it better.
That's some woof.
Don't be jealous of my buggy.
I can't say that I am not jealous.
This is why I'm the talents.
So, the Big Eight, we normally like to come back from the movie with a joke. Unfortunately,
or like a cool quote,
or like a cool quippy quote, good one-liner or something. Unfortunately, this movie does not have those.
No,
it doesn't really go with the whole. No, vibe.
It's hard when you don't do trash films that are kind of like fun. You're actually doing like serious film where you're
This is what we get for branching out from 80s horror and doing like a non-horror about from those. Whatever year you said.
This was not a good time.
Oof.
Yeah, from 2010, things were bleak then.
Things were bleak.
Just crawling our way out of the housing market crash of 2008. Just trying to make our way in the world today. It was hard.
Did not have much room for laughs.
Didn't have a lot of room for the yolks.
All right.
So what'd you think?
I actually really liked this one. I didn't expect to, but I thought it was really good, really fun. Well, not fun, but really interesting.
Interesting, I think, is a good word.
In the way that it was done.
And
I feel like they were able to pull off a lot of things that I really enjoy. And I think I'll get more into that when we go into our analysis. But I did like it a lot.
You did?
Yeah. What do you think of it?
I mean, I thought it was really well done. I think that was cool. I think I just don't like Natalie Portman that much. I think that kind of bugs me. But and you know what really gets me about this movie is there's a lot of nail trauma, if that is an appropriate word. Maybe I'm coining it. I don't know.
You do have a big issue with
but
that.
Like there's like toenails breaking and fingernail, like reckless fingernail trimming and hangnail pulling.
Like fingernail trimming with like scissors. And scissors. Not like nail scissors, like scissors.
Yeah, just like really horrible like that with the nails, and it's a recurring thing. Like it happens quite a lot, and I had forgotten how much of that was in there until I saw it, and I was like, oh yeah, this movie does that.
And one of the more one of the more gruesome-ish bits is done with a nail file as well.
Yeah there's a lot of nail stuff in there, which probably is a metaphor for something.
Probably.
I guess your nails can be like your defenses, and your defenses are breaking. So, I mean, maybe something like that as she's like descending into madness, whatever. But, I mean, you know, it's a heartwarming story of a ballerina who I believe is probably in her 20s and like living with her single mom who like rules every aspect of her life.
Yeah. And is like intentionally trying to keep her young.
Yeah. And, you know, she lands this role in the ballet company as the Swan Queen in Swan Lake, which is both the white swan and the black swan all in one.
Right, because he wants to, like, change the, director, choreographer. I'm not really exactly sure what his role is.
In the synopsis here on IMDb, it says he's the artistic director.
Okay, the artistic director.
Yeah, I guess. Again, like we and I'm sorry, but we know nothing about ballet culture or dance culture or anything. We're very uncouth when it comes to the dance world, so forgive.
But he wants to do, because everyone's done Swan Lake, it's been done to death, so he wants to do like a new version of it where both swans are one person.
Right. And he's also bringing in this new ingenue. Nina is her name, played by Natalie Portman, who's going to be the Swan Queen. He's bringing her in new because he's retiring out the old prima ballerina, Beth. I guess he's retiring her against her will, it looks like.
Yeah, against her will. Beth, who is played by Winona Ryder.
Yeah, and she has such like a bizarre role in this.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite thing. It's my favorite part of this whole movie, is watching her like do this, Because I feel like this is kind of when she was like getting a little weird too. So, I mean.
Oh, I didn't know she got weird for a bit.
She did. She got, and you know, again, I'm like not super great on like when everything happened in pop culture. But for a while, like she was, I think she got arrested for like stealing, like shoplifting and stuff. Oh. She kind of took a spiral. But I think, you know, it's hard when you're famous and you just like do dumb stuff that like everyone kind of does. But then like you get called out on it because everybody knows who you are because you're right. Like. Have been doing movies since you were like a teenager, so I think it's hard. You know, it's hard to just grow up and have a life and become an adult when you're famous. I think.
No, I completely understand. Yeah, that.
So she went off the rails for a little bit, as you know, a lot of folks do. Not as bad as Nina does in The Black Swan, though, or as even her character Beth does in this movie. Thank God.
As Beth is leaving, they need another ballerina, so they also are bringing in Lily.
Yes, Lily, which is kind of like the supporting actress in all this, and right. She's like the other kind of main driving force in all of it. So let's start out with some trigger warnings.
Trigger warnings for nail trauma, as you mentioned. Self-harm.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I know a lot of people have like skin picking issues, so if that like wigs you out, there's a lot of like that sort of thing going on.
Oh, mental health for sure.
Mental health, big one.
Suicide attempt,
like a smothering mother.
Yeah, if you have mom issues.
I want to say rape. I'm not like.
Like definitely some sexual assault some vibes. Some sexual assault
vibes. Drug use.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Probably like body dysmorphia.
Body dysmorphia, that's a good one. I
would say would definitely be in there. So just a handful. Like it's not a feel good time. So I mean, if you feel like you're going to be triggered by any of this stuff, like you might want to just give this one a miss. Because it's all, right. I mean, this is all ingrained in there. There's really no way around it.
Right. And yeah, I feel like a lot of that is prevalent in ballet culture, which is probably why a lot of it's in. Or at least with body dysmorphia, I feel like that is.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like body dysmorphia is in so many things. It's just, you know, it's almost inescapable no matter what you're doing.
It's
like
true.
Anything where you're using your body in a way where people are going to be staring at it, like sports, dance, any of that stuff, you know, acting, whatever, modeling. I feel like anytime where your body is your job, like I feel like that's, you know, body dysmorphia is always like a risk there.
All right,
so I think, like we said, this is, you know, a little bit on the tamer side as far as wildly uncomfortable moments are. Not to say that this is not an uncomfortable film in general,
which it definitely is.
Yes. So, I mean, it will make you feel uncomfortable. Even if you're just like chilling by yourself watching it, you're just like, ooh, bleh. But I mean, we're specifically going to pick out the points that would be uncomfortable to watch with.
Right. They would be made worse by someone being there.
Yes. Like a parent, a grandparent, a neighbor,
a guardian,
a first date. A pastor, whatever you got going on, like this.
I
would
always
not
love
be
that
one
you throw pastor in there. I really feel like
you know, and I think it's because I know a lot of people who are. I am not religious, but I am like spiritual AF, and I know a lot of people who are like really religious and they're like super strong in their faith, which is awesome.
I just don't know what context you're like inviting your pastor.
But
over to
I mean,
watch movies.
They'll do like, you know, they'll have like Bible study and they'll hang out afterwards and they'll like do whatever. I know I went to do my prereqs for nursing school with a gal who was married to a pastor, so that's like her husband. So, and I know they're very involved with like their congregation and all that.
I keep forgetting that it's only Catholic pastors who can't like get married.
Well,
and all
Catholics
that.
Are priests, they're not pastors.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know that you're ever gonna like hang out and watch with your priest, but I mean, maybe there's like cool young priests now where people are doing
that. That's all I think of when someone says pastor, but I think that's just like those things got like all twisted up in my brain.
I mean, you know, pastors got like pals and they go out and they do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think that's because, like, I know, like, a handful of folks who, you know, are very involved in their church and they hang out, like, not just, like, at church, but, like,
elsewhere.
Socially. So I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe your pal from church, you don't want to do this. And I mean, you know, that I think that's awesome. It's not my bag, but I mean, good for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this one I feel like would be weird to watch with your pastor.
Would be weird, but I mean, you know, maybe the pastor's a cinephile. I mean, I'm sure they have other interests aside from Jesus.
Oh,
you know?
I'm sure they do. I just don't know.
You know, maybe your rabbi is like really chill. Like you have a chill young rabbi, or you're in like, you know, seminary or something, and like all of you are hanging out. Like, who knows?
I feel like this one would still be like, oh, left field type of pick, but.
True, but remember there is that picture of the priests hanging out by the exorcist stairs.
That's not a weird pick though, because there's priests in The Exorcist.
Yeah, but I mean they're watching that movie and it's very uncomfortable and some really like skeevy things happen in that film.
Do not
that you
deny.
Wouldn't think a priest would be like, oh yeah, let me totally check this out, and then like, yeah, let me make a trip to the steps.
I don't know.
And
I
pretend
like
I'm dead at the bottom of them while my buddy takes a picture.
I don't deny that at all, but I feel like that's something that they would think is like funny. Is like, ha ha ha, exorcism.
I don't know that would be something I would necessarily assume.
Like that one, I'd be like, I would totally watch that one with a priest, or like watch like a priest reacts.
I don't think you would watch that with a priest.
I would.
I would bet a significant amount of money that you would not watch that with a priest.
If there was a priest that was like, hey, do you want to watch this? I would be like, yeah, sure. Or I would even like watch like a YouTube reacts of like a priest watching The Exorcist.
Oh, I think anyone would watch a YouTube reacts of a priest watching The Exorcist. I don't think that's putting your money where your mouth is.
No.
I think you need to find, like, I would take somebody in the seminary. Anybody training to be a priest or who is a priest who wants to, a Catholic priest who would like to come, an active Catholic, any age, I don't care, who would like to come and watch The Exorcist with Kat while she sits there quietly yucking it up, having some popcorn and a Coke. And a great time, and I'd love to see how this goes. And I'm going to watch that YouTube reacts.
I would gladly watch The Exorcist with you. I think that's less of a left field type of pick because there's priests in it. So there's a connection.
So would this be like watching this movie with like some ballet dancers?
Yeah.
Seeing what they have to say about it?
I feel like that's
or like
more
a swan? Like grabbing a swan from the pot and being like, come here.
It's that other Bob's Burgers episode
with the goose.
It's Night of the Living Prom.
Oh my God.
No, I feel like this is more normal for to watch this with a ballerina than it is to watch The Exorcist with a priest. But I think it's more normal to watch The Exorcist with a priest than it is to watch this with a priest.
I think you would be wildly uncomfortable trying to watch The Exorcist with a priest. I'm just saying that.
I think if it was a cool priest, I would totally, like, yeah, I'm down.
I want the most uncool priest
who's willing
to watch The Exorcist.
I want a priest who's willing to watch The Exorcist is already a pretty cool priest, I feel like. So if you want to watch The Exorcist with me, I'm here for it. Let's do it.
A veritable stranger. You can't get to know each other ahead of time.
Why do they have
to come on over?
We will
provide the snackies.
I feel like you're setting up a dangerous situation here.
I mean, you know, he's a pillar of the community. Well, I'll vet him. He'll be fine. Can we have a nun, too?
Oh, my God. Can we watch The Nun with a Nun?
Can we watch The Nun with a Nun? I think we should do this.
Tune back in for our new series, watching religious horrible movies.
Horrible religious movies.
Like, with the people in them.
Yeah.
Can we watch Velocipastor with a pastor?
Velocipastor with a pastor. I'm trying to think. There's, what is that one? There is a Jewish one where it's got the little box, I think. I can't think of the name of it. I'll find it.
We do have the synagogue right there.
I think it might be a Sam Raimi joint. I'll have to look.
We'll find that one.
Yeah.
Listen, any of y'all religious figures out there who want to come do this with us, we will provide snacks and drinks.
You watch The Nun with a Nun. Oh, my God. This is so wrong.
I think they would be into it.
I mean, if they are, they're more than welcome. I'm prepared to set this up, and we will definitely record it. I think it'll be awesome.
Okay, so that was quite the tangent.
Okay, so that's our trigger warning.
Because we have a while.
Yeah, you got a cool 40 minutes or so before anything gets a little wonky.
Exactly 40 minutes is when we marked the start of the first one. Yeah. So,
I mean, pretty much.
Let's get a little bit of plot going in here.
Yeah. I mean, it's you got Nina. She lives at home. She's got a mother, who is trying to live her life vicariously through her.
Correct.
And keeps pretending that she's like 12 years old. And, you know, she sleeps in a twin bed with, like, pink butterfly wallpaper and, like, stuffed animals everywhere. And her door does not lock.
No. And her mom, like, wants to help her get dressed and change and all of that.
Yeah. It's just really bizarre. And she's, like, this little, like, I can't really speak up for myself. I just talk and mumble all the time. And I don't really know. I'm so sorry for, like, existing and being good at dance.
There were multiple times where we kept turning the volume up because her voice just seemed to get quieter and quieter throughout the movie.
Yeah. For a while.
For a while.
Until it doesn't.
She is very obsessed with getting the dance perfect. Like, she doesn't feel the dance so much as she does the motions of the dance and wants to do them exactly.
Yeah, I feel like it's I don't know if anybody out there watches RuPaul's Drag Race or any of the drag competition shows. We're big fans of Dragula too, but
I prefer Dragula.
Sometimes they'll say, I could see that you were in your head. You know, you're doing everything, but you're, like, in your head. And, like, I'm not connecting with you because you're in there and you're not connecting with me. And I feel like that is what's going on with her. Okay. Like, she's in her head. She's doing the steps. She's getting everything. She's nailing it. She's technically perfect, but she's just closed in and she's not actually, like, connecting with anyone else. She's just not even the people that she's dancing with. So, I mean, while technically it's lovely, like, it's not something that you really want to watch because it feels robotic almost.
And aloof. I think of it a lot like in Avatar The Last Airbender when Katara is trying to learn water bending and she's doing the motions on the scroll, but she can't get the water to move. And then Aang just goes over and is like, blip, blip. And it's great because he's feeling the energy flow type of deal.
There you go. So she goes to Tomas, who's the art director, artistic director, I guess is what it's called. And, you know, because she's like, she flubbed her audition a little bit because someone walked in and interrupted her. So she goes and to kind of plead her trouble case.
Expressing the energy of the black swan. She's a very good white swan. She's very innocent, very pure, very able to, like, do the motions. But she doesn't have that attraction that, I don't even know what to describe it as, that vibe, that energy that the black swan has, that control.
Right.
So he's like, hey, you're great for the white swan, but I don't think you can be the swan queen because you cannot channel that black swan energy. So she goes to him to try and, like, beg for another chance or, you know, to try and do it again. And he kisses her.
Which maybe she's kind of into, but, like, maybe not.
It's
like,
kind of hard to deter, like, because
She ends up biting him.
She ends up biting him.
So either it's because she's not into it, or she's shocked, or both, or whatever.
Or she has no experience, because she clearly doesn't.
Yeah, so she ends up biting him. And I think that's, he's, like, shocked and kind of taken aback. And I think that's kind of what makes him consider her, and, like, she actually ends up getting that role of the Swan Queen.
Which she was not expecting by any means.
No, because he told her he gave it to someone else.
He did.
And she said to one of the girls in the hall, it's like, oh, congratulations.
Right,
you know,
because she was just told.
Yeah. Because she thought that she had landed the role, and she's walking away from the cast list thinking that she didn't get anything. And then the chick comes running back to her and she's like, why would you say that, you're such a bitch? And she goes back and she finds out she's the Swan Queen. So I mean, she showed, like, a little bit of, like, fight back, a little bit of pushback, and, you know, so then Tomas chooses her to be the queen,
right?
So that's, like,
That's our main setup. I'm just trying to remember if we had any other important details before that, but it doesn't look like we do. So then 40 minutes in, oh, we do, because we have the party. So I don't know if this is, I mean, this must be common in ballet world, but again, we don't know anything about ballet world. So. To announce the season, the winter season, they have like a big gala
soiree. I don't know, like a big fancy
a
party.
A big fancy party, right.
Which I'm sure they're trying to get like donors and sponsors and like all that crap.
Right, because it's the theatre and that's how that works. And everyone is there. All the dancers are there. It's like a big deal. And they're, what's his name,
Tomas
announces the retirement of Beth. And Beth is like
pissed.
Like very upset. To the point where she like walks out, right?
Yeah. She
like storms out. And then in that same little speech that he's giving, he announces that Nina is going to take the lead in the upcoming show of Swan Lake.
Right.
So after this party, Beth comes out completely disheveled, very drunk, very upset.
Oh, yeah. She's wearing like this wackadoodle outfit anyway. It's kind of like she's wrapped in this weird silver thing, and
it's like sparkly and
her hair's a mess and her makeup's all smeared up and she's drunk as a skunk and she's like, you better enjoy it, he's gonna be moving on from you soon enough, blah blah blah. And then she's like, I'm coming over, Tomas, I'm gonna give you something, you're not gonna forget me, blah 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 blah. It's right. Like this crazy drunk wild woman thing, which
wild thing.
Hilarious and lovely to watch,
right? And Winona Ryder does such an amazing job in this role. It's just priceless. Tomas diffuses the Beth situation a little bit, at least. And then is like, hey, Nina, where are you heading? And she's like, over here. And he's like, oh, well.
Upper West Side.
I don't remember where it was.
Also known as over here.
Upper West Side.
Oh, y'all.
And he's like, oh, well, my place is on the way. You should stop by and have a drink. And she does, even though I told her not to because it's dumb.
That was very anti-Tomas, the entire movie. Once he smooched on her,
even
she was like,
that,
you're
was
a skeez and I hate you. And you can jump like I'm done.
Whoever,
I'm just prepared to yeet you off this planet.
Whoever that actor was did a really good job of like selling the creep vibes the entire time.
I mean, yeah, that was kind of his job.
He did a good job.
This is Vincent Castle, who I'm sure has been in like a ton of other things.
Vincent Castle, I'm sure you're a lovely guy, but from the moment I saw you, I was like, I don't trust him.
he has been in like a lot of like French stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's French.
Yeah.
So... Oh my gosh, yeah, there's like an Asterix movie. Sorry, I'm like, ooh, I remember those comics from when I was a kid. Right.
Anywho, so he invites Nina over and Nina goes and they're having like a couple more drinks. And he asks her some very personal, he like asks if she's ever had a boyfriend. And then he asks if she's a virgin and she's like, no. Like, all embarrassed. And she says no, but...
I think no does mean yes in this situation.
No does mean yes in this situation. Does he tell her to do something, or does she just...
Oh, no, he suggests that.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah. He suggests that she has some private alone time.
Which she ends up doing the next morning. Which first off, when she gets home, her mom is like super paranoid because she was out so late and like helps her take off her dress and like does like a whole thing of it.
Yeah.
Which weird.
Creepy.
But then when she wakes up in the morning, Nina decides to have some special alone time with herself, feeling herself. You, catch the drift. That occurs from 40 minutes to 40 minutes, 55 seconds.
It's a long minute.
She's like really into it.
Yeah. She's like writhing around. It's like she's flopping and flipping and all this stuff. And you're just like, okay.
And you never see anything. She keeps her panties on the whole time.
Yeah. No nudity in this film.
No nudity in this film. Some very much implied nudity.
Some almost nudity.
Some almost nudity, especially later on. But, Yeah, this scene is actually cut a bit short because Nina rolls over and sees her mother passed out in a chair next to her bed.
Creepy.
Like her mother had like sat up and like watched her sleep, which is wild.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's like mildly concerned for her because she has like this rash on her back. And her mom's like, you're scratching yourself again, which kind of implies that she was kind of doing some self-harm earlier. So that's like a lot of the nail cutting and stuff like that is because, you know, she thinks she's scratching herself. So I don't know if it was because of that or like what, but it's not like she was deathly ill and she needed to like sit vigil at her bedside or anything. She just decided to sit there and watch her.
Yeah, even if she was like scratching herself in her sleep, like it's not. I don't know. It's still weird.
It's weird.
And
uncomfortable.
It really is. So our once we get going with the uncomfortable moments, they just kind of keep coming for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. You get some time off and then it just like keeps on going.
Our next moment is 48:45 to 49:34. This is Nina goes back to practice. It is practicing with the two dancers who are going to be the prince and the
demon
mm-hmm. that like curses the swan, the princess to be a swan, basically in Swan yeah. Lake. Sorry, I'm not very familiar with Swan Lake. And Tomas is not feeling the passion, the vibe that he's looking for in this dance.
Right,
and he just has her keep practicing the same scene over and over again. And she's like, do you have any notes? And
yeah. Corrections? Like, what do you want? Like, you just keep saying, do it again.
Like, what do I need to change? And he looks over to the one dancer and he says, what does he say? Does he say, would you fuck her?
Would you fuck this girl?
Yeah. He says, would you fuck this girl? Like, to this other dancer. Which is really weird, but
he's like, and so he's like, okay, well, there you go. Everybody else can leave. I'm working with Nina. And, you know, they're walking out and they're like, have fun. And he's like, get out of here. So then he's like, okay, well, I'll play the other dancer. Like, you do your part and I'll do his part. So, mm-hmm. you know, she starts doing their routine and then he starts getting like handsy.
Like aggressively handsy.
Like creepily handsy. Creepily
handsy. He's a creep. And he's just like, feel my hands on you.
Yeah, like, respond to my touch, blah, blah, blah. Like, all this really creep and creeper stuff.
All of this really creep and creeper stuff, like, feeling, like, all the way up her leg, her butt, like, grabbing her chest, like, this whole thing. And then he starts kissing her again, and then he's like, open your mouth wider. And he, like, shoves his tongue in. And, like, this,
The whole thing was very uncomfortable.
The whole thing is very uncomfortable.
And you're not really sure if she's into it or not. I think that's one of the really creepy things about this is you're not really sure what she
wants,
feels about him.
Right.
Like, is she just happy to be getting, like, male attention because she doesn't have a male in her life? Is this more like a, almost like a father figure? Is it just, like, she wants someone to be proud of her? Like,
right. Is she looking for? He's the, what is it, artistic director? So
yes,
he
it's
has
like an authority.
An authority type of thing. And she, like, he's the one that has influence on her life. Is it because she's been kept so innocent? Like, what is going on?
Right.
Because the whole time her body language and, like, her facial expression is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But then when Tomas cuts it off, she seems like she's, like, reaching out for more.
Right.
So it's a very.
Yeah, it's almost
like
she doesn't even know.
Like, she doesn't even
what
know
what she
wants. Right, exactly. Yeah, it's just a very uncomfortable scene. And then he's like, that was me seducing you. Now you need to seduce me, like, with her role.
Right.
As, like, his note.
Right. That was the correction.
And then just one little plot thing that happens in between that is, in between this one and the next scene is, Nina is like, Tomas leaves. Nina's practicing and she's just crying in front of, like, on the floor in front of the mirror as she's getting ready to leave. And Lily walks in and is like, hey,
Lily is played by Mila Kunis, who comes in and she's like kind of like trying to be a little friendly, but you're not really sure. But like
what her intentions are.
Yeah, because I mean, she seems like she's just trying to be like right. a pal. Like she just kind of goes with the flow. She's like, hey, I saw you upset. Like, what's up?
She seems like a good person. But like that ballerina joke before, it's like everyone wants this role.
Right. So like, who's your friend? Who's not?
Right. Exactly. So she's just trying to check in and see what's going on and like makes a joke about Nina getting it on with T-shirt. And Nina just walks, like, storms out.
Yeah. She's kind of defending him, and he's like, oh, you know, he's really hard on you. He yells all the time and all this other stuff. And she's like, you don't know him. He's not always like that. And she's like, oh, you're hot for teacher. And then she's like, I'm out. And she just, like, grabs herself and goes.
Right. So after that, Nina goes home, and she's taking a little bath and decides to try again at some alone time. The scene is 51 minutes, 38 seconds to 51:43. We probably clocked that longer than it needed to be done because
it doesn't last very long.
It's very quick, and it's cut pretty short because, A, I don't know that she's really, like, feeling anything. She seems to just kind of give up. And she just, like, goes under the water, like, completely submerges herself under the water. And then it's just looking up. And then she has a vision, a hallucination, if you will, of herself. It's kind of hard to tell because, A, it's underwater and kind of blurry.
She spends a lot of time seeing herself outside her body.
Outside her body.
In other people.
In other people.
Like, she'll be looking at somebody coming down the road, and she'll be like, oh, look at that person. And then the person will turn, and it'll be her.
Yeah. Or, like, she'll move, and the other person will move, and she'll be like, is that me? And then it's not her.
Yeah.
Right. So she sees herself on top, like, holding herself under the water, or maybe just, like, there to spook herself. And she gets out of the bath fairly quickly, and her fingers are bloody.
Always.
Always. Creepy. Her fingers are always bloody. And I don't know if that's, like, a thing about her, like, scratching her shoulder or...
The weird nail thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Terribly spooky.
So that one's pretty short.
Yeah, it's very short.
Very short.
Blinking, you'll miss it.
Yeah. And it's an easily missable scene. There's not really much plot things happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, Nina goes back to practice. And Tomas says that Lily had told him that she was whining and being weak and like this, all of this stuff.
Right.
So Nina then confronts Lily and is like, hey, why did you tell him all these things about me? Like, I'm fine. You didn't need to do that. That was uncalled for. That was not cool. And Lily's like, I was just trying to look out for you. I did not mean anything by it. I'm sorry. I just told him to, like, ease up a little bit because...
Yeah, I don't even know if she said that. I think she just said, like, you know, you're doing a great job.
Right.
And, you know, you're trying your best out there.
Right,
and all
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you even talking about me at all? Like, keep my name out of your thin mouth. It's kind of like how this went. And then she's just like, bro, like, I was just trying to be cool. Like, we're just having a chitty chat. And I was just like, hey, she's doing awesome. Like,
right. And
back up.
I think that a lot of it is that Tomas might have interpreted that as more than it was, in that, like, Nina was going and, like, whining about him being harsh when really it was just, like...
Like, after he takes this chance on her that she's going to be able to do that. Because, I mean, really, he is hinging this entire production
on her.
Right. And she's, like, not hitting it where he needs her to be.
He knew that she wasn't going to. I don't know why.
I mean, you know, I guess he had his reasons. I guess he thought he could, like, bring it out in her because she had some kind of a spark in there.
I think it's because he thought that he could get away with stuff with her. But
well, I mean, he can.
Well, clearly.
But I think he could probably get away with stuff with a lot of them.
That's true.
I mean, just the way they act in this.
That's true.
I don't know.
Lily feels bad because she was just trying to be like, she's doing a good job.
Right. You know, I mean, you know, according to Lily, according to Tomas, she said, like, all this other stuff. And so, I mean, who knows?
The truth is probably somewhere in between.
Right. Because, I mean, Nina is definitely paranoid.
Yes, very much so.
But, and you know, maybe with good reason, because I mean, everybody is out to try and get the role. So she's thinking like, okay, well, here's this girl trying to be friendly with me. None of the other girls seem to be trying to be friendly with her. So she's got to have an ulterior motive, because why would she want to be her friend, you know?
Mm-hmm. On her way back from practice, again, this is like a skippable scene. Nina is riding the subway.
Yeah.
And she's like in an empty car with just one other older fancy gentleman.
And she's filing her stupid nails, because we can't stop playing with our nails in this movie. We always got to
be playing with our nails.
And as well, because she's using the nail file that she stole from Beth. Like when she, like at the beginning of this, when like Beth was getting fired, like she went into her, Beth threw a temper tantrum and she went into her dressing room and she like swiped some of her stuff.
Yeah, and I don't...
like, swiped it.
Yeah, she said she swiped some of her stuff.
Yeah, which is funny because, you know, it's Winona Ryder, and Winona Ryder was swiping stuff, so I mean, I wonder if that's, like, a thing.
That's, like, a thing.
But whatever. I digress.
I don't... because she definitely steals the lipstick in that scene, but I don't know if she had been stealing other things before then as well.
Yeah, because she stole the nail file, she stole a perfume,
well, I didn't know she stole it all that once or, like, multiple times throughout her
But she did steal all those things.
She did. So this old man is sitting on the train and like looks over and is like making kissy noises at her. And she stops filing her nails and looks over at him. And then he escalates the noises, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
And starts making like gestures in front of his crotch and like doing like a whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. It's pretty gross. It's just obscene gestures that obscene he's going for.
And then the scene ends. It's not even like... anything really, I don't know.
No, it's like a well-dressed older gentleman making obscene gestures at a chick who's like filing her nails on the subway. And you're just like, what the hell is this?
What is this for? But and it's not even a very long scene. It's like, again, it's 55:42 to 56:06, so
yeah,
it's like a few seconds. I don't even know. Yeah, it's just it seems like a weird scene to throw in there, but it must mean something. It must be important for some reason. So Nina is back at home, like prepping ballet shoes with her mother, and they get into like a little bit of a tiff. Do you remember why they get into a bit of a tiff? Because I know her mom gets mad at her for like trying, like, don't waste your chance because, you know, I gave up my ballet life to have you. Type of deal, but I don't know what instigated that.
Is that where she's saying like, hey, are you doing anything with has he made a pass at you?
Right. So Nina's mom asks if Tomas has made a pass at her because he has a bit of a reputation, and Nina's like, no. And her mom's like, okay, well, be careful, because like, you don't want to get involved with something like that. Like, I had to throw my whole life to, you know, or my whole ballet career to, you know, have you and like all this stuff. And Nina says something under her breath, and like it causes like a whole little tiff between the two of them. And then there is a knock on the door, and Nina's mom goes up to answer it and just like sees who it is and like doesn't even undo the chain, just like opens it and then closes the door and just walks back. And it's like, and he's like, who was it? And she's like, no one. Who was it? No one. So then Nina goes and opens the door, and it's Lily. And Lily just wants to apologize. And like before Lily can even say anything, Nina's mom's already like, Nina, you need to come in. Dinner. And Lily's like, well, I was hoping I could get you dinner.
Yeah, she's like, things got weird. I just want to apologize. Like, let me make it right. Let me get you dinner. Let me get a drink. Whatever. Like, come out, have a good time. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, we're on the stage tomorrow. I really can't do anything. I need to get my rest.
And Nina's mom, like, comes out again. And is like, you're on the stage tomorrow. You can't go anywhere.
Yeah, and it's like, the more her mom tries to keep her in, the more she's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm out. And she just, like, grabs her coat and away they go.
And away they go. And they go out to, like, a bar club.
Yeah, a bar restaurant type thing.
Where Lily offers Nina, what drug is that?
I think it's ecstasy.
Ecstasy. And she's like, it
ecstasy
only lasts,
or Molly?
Like,
maybe it's like, Molly. That's MDMA.
MDMA. She's like, what? You've never rolled? It only lasts a few hours. You're good. Don't even worry about it. You just need to loosen up a little bit. And the whole scene, you can really tell that they are very much opposites. Nina like orders barely any food, if any food at all. And Lily has like this whole cheeseburger and is like flirty talking with the waiter and like this whole thing. And then Nina's just sitting there very quietly, very like posture perfect type of deal.
Yeah, she's chatting up the waiter. She's having a good time. And, you know, it's just she's very loosey-goosey. Like, I do what I want. I say what I want. I eat what I want. I talk to whoever I want, however I want. And that's just what I do. And Nina's just like trying to keep it together. I don't know if Nina ever like leaves the house for real unless she's going to ballet practice. I have no idea what
she
does.
I feel like she's really kept on like
she's
a tight leash.
Super, super sheltered. So, you know, Lily offers her the drug. She's like, nah, I'm cool. She takes hers anyway. Lily takes hers. And then Nina goes to the bathroom and she comes back. And Lily's over there talking to a couple of guys. And she sees her, like, spike the drink. She, like, got a drink for Nina and she put it in there. And she's like, hey, this is Tom and Jerry. And he's like, my name's not Jerry, but whatever. And, you know, they're kind of chit-chatting around and blah, blah, blah. And, like, she's thinking and she knows her drink is spiked.
She even, like, asks, she's like, hey, it only lasts, like, 1 to 2 hours, right? And Lily's like, tops.
Tops, yeah. So she's like, all right, screw it. So she, like, takes the drink. They're talking to the guys. Like, she's just kind of, like, having a conversation about Swan Lake and the ballet. And they're all like, yeah, whatever, nerd. And
they really are.
Yeah, and, like, she just kind of, like, is like, oh, my hands feel all strange and weird. And Lily's like, okay, I think the drugs are kicking in. Like, time to go dance.
Like, when the drugs start kicking in, she starts, like, leaning and glomming on Lily and, like, doesn't even seem to register that the men are there anymore, which, I don't know. I feel like that's your first indication of sapphic vibes, but.
Probably so.
So they get up to go dance, and you have a very Darrenofsky drug scene where it's like flashy. You don't really know what's happening. And then.
Yeah, it's like a fever dream. Like a fever dream type of deal. You know, like just drugs and dancing and colored lights and flashes, and you don't know who's where and what. And there's like hands and arms and hair, and you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I feel like I blinked and then suddenly I was already at the where she's coming out of it.
Yeah.
And she comes out of it in a bathroom aggressively making out with a different man than either of the guy before. And she like runs out of the bar club.
Yeah, she runs out and then Lee's like, where are you going? She's like, I gotta go. So they like grab a cab. And then they're going home in the cab. And Lee's kind of like poking at her and she like walks her fingers over and she grabs her hand. And then next uncomfortable moment occurs at
1 hour, 6 minutes, 36 seconds to 1 hour, 7 minutes, 4 seconds. Sorry, I forgot we were coming up on an uncomfortable moment there.
Yeah, it's a full-on crotch grab in the cab. Full-on cab crotch grab.
It is.
Yeah. And you're just like, what the hell? So I was like, yeah. She just, like, latches onto her, and there you go. And then she,
and
like,
kind of pushes her away. Nina doesn't, like, yeah. But, like, not aggressively at
no,
all.
I feel like everything she does is kind of passive. It's like she kind of, like, passively rejects the Tomas. She kind of passively rejects Lily. Like, everything she does is like, does she want it, does she not want it, like, what is she doing? Mm-hmm. And it's like you're just kind of waiting for her to make up her mind really as to what she wants.
You are, but I feel like she makes up her mind at least partially in this next bit.
I mean, you know, there's an argument for that. You know, because we're not really sure. But either way, they go home. They go to Nina's, which I think is just weird because we know her mom is a creep.
We know her mom is a creep. And we know her mom is going to be there. And, like, when they get there, I didn't even realize that Lily was with her at first. I thought it was just Nina coming home. But Nina's mom stops them at the door and is like, Nina, where were you? What were you doing? And she's like, getting drinks. She's like, you're drunk. What else were you doing? And she's like, you want to know their names? Well, there was two. There was
Tom and Jerry.
Well,
I think she told them Jerry. It doesn't matter what the other guy's name
was. It doesn't matter. And
yeah, and her mom's just outraged, and then the whole thing just ends with a slap.
Yes.
So she slaps her. Nina grabs Lily and they run off into her room. And she can't lock her door. So she has a piece of wood that she stole from the trash. And she like jams it up against the wall so her mom can't get in. So her mom's like screaming, pounding on the door. Let me in. You're not my Nina right now. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
you're acting really all weird.
Bizarre stuff. But she's like, ha ha, I've got privacy now. And we're just like, all right, yeah, sure.
There's this like really great moment where the mom tries to like shove open the door. Like, and she's like, what is this? And Nina's just like, it's called privacy. And then she takes Lily on the bed.
Yeah. And then there's like a full on sex scene.
Yep. Yep. Well, I guess Lily takes her on the bed. Either way, as this scene is going on and like as Nina is like eating her out, she pops up and suddenly it's not Lily anymore. It's Nina.
Yeah.
And
it's like the whole thing is very strange because it's like she's seeing herself. She's seeing Lily. She's seeing like her skin is like rippling with like this weird like bird skin kind right. of look to it.
Like goosebumps, but aggressive goosebumps.
Yeah, like a chickeny skin kind of deal. And I mean, it's like everything is just kind of like in and out of like it during this whole scene that's going on.
Right. And
again,
it's,
like,
it's hard to tell if this is like lingering effects of the drugs, if this is like some of the alcohol trying to play in, or like what is going on? What is going on in this scene?
Right.
But
you know, this is kind of just going on for a while.
For a while.
So like at the end of the whole thing, she looks up and she sees herself kind of like on top of her, and she grabs a pillow and she smothers herself with the pillow.
Right. So the her that is not her, like the out of body Nina, smothers Nina with a pillow, and then she wakes up in the morning late for her dance. What are they? For rehearsal.
For rehearsal.
And she runs out of her room and she's like, she yells at her mother that she's moving out. Which seems so out of
place.
Why
didn't you wake me up? I'm moving out.
Like, yeah.
Sure.
And her mom's just like in a chair.
Yeah.
Not seeming to be with it, because I feel like she's really broken by the fact that Nina did any of that the other night.
Yeah.
And Nina runs onto the stage, and who is performing her role?
Lily.
So at that point, she's like pretty upset. She goes to Tomas and she's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. He's like, he just kind of dismisses her and tells her to go get warmed up.
Yeah. And, you know, she goes to Lily, like, why didn't you wake me up? You just left, you know, what the heck? And she's like,
hold on, because when all of them stop with Lily's take, everyone applauds that Lily did such a good job.
Yeah.
And so she confronts Lily and is like, hey, why didn't you wake me up? And Lily explains that she was not with her last night.
Yeah. So she says, why didn't you wake me up? You know, you were in my house last night. And she's like, yeah, I was. And then I left. And she's like, no, you stayed over. And she's like, well, unless your name was Tom and you had a dick, like, I didn't stay with you last night. And she's all flustered. And she's like, did you have some kind of like weird erotic fantasy about me? And she's like, you know, and she does like her little Nina thing where she's just like, she doesn't know what to say.
She just dissolves
and
into
she just
mist.
Like yeah. shuts down. And then she's like, oh my God, you did. And she like runs off. And Lily's like, well, was I any good? Which I think is pretty funny.
I think it is pretty funny.
Probably the funniest part of the movie.
I think, you know, and that character in this movie is probably like the comic relief that yeah. you get in yeah. the movie.
I guess so. But I mean, all of this kind of lands her the understudy for the Swan
right.
Queen, which
right.
you know, Nina's not so happy
no,
about.
No, and anytime that Nina practices during this rehearsal, no one applauds, no one's excited for her to be like doing this at all.
Yeah.
And they're all just kind of like, cool, you did it. But that was our last uncomfortable scene. I don't know if we want to spoil the end because we don't have to. That's something we tend to go back and forth on. Do you have any thoughts on spoiling the end?
I thought you didn't want to spoil the end.
I mean, we don't have to, so I don't know that we should.
I mean, you know, needless to say, hijinks ensue.
Hijinks ensue indeed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a descent into madness.
It's a descent into madness. You get a really good scene with Winona Ryder.
Yep. She goes kind of back to confront Beth about some things and kind of clear her conscience a little bit. She does give the performance of the Black Swan,
which is amazing.
There's some like bird moments. There's some dancing moments. There's some like weird legs that occur.
There's some more stuff. That, there's like there's a some more neck tension that happens between Nina and her mother. There's like a whole confrontation there, and then also there's another like confrontation between Nina and Lily. What?
What's the other confrontation with her mother?
When she like slams her hands in the door and she
wakes up with the socks on. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, it really gets it's worth a watch. It really gets weird.
It is 100% worth the watch.
And again, not to say that the rest of it is not uncomfortable. It's wildly uncomfortable, and it kind of leaves you questioning like what was real, what wasn't.
Which is one of my favorite things in a movie. I love that so much.
Yeah, but these are like the like squeamy to watch with a certain people type of situation,
which is what we're here for,
right? So I mean, I highly recommend you should like check the rest of it out.
Yeah, definitely 100% recommend. Actually, this is a good segue into our reviews. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being ugh, that was nothing, and 10 being oh my god, I'm gonna just explode and dissolve into mist and I never want to see you or talk about this ever again, how uncomfortable was this to watch?
I didn't think it was too uncomfortable, and I think lot of like the squeamish moments you could miss and just peel off. You know, you can. I'm gonna go grab a Coke real quick. I mean, you know, I'm gonna hit the head, whatever. So I think you won't lose any plot structure there, and I think you could easily miss them. So I'm gonna rate this one pretty low. I'm gonna say this is maybe like a 4.5, 5.
Yeah, I agree with you about a lot of that. I'm gonna rate it a little bit higher. I'm gonna give it a 6, just because I feel like, especially because it's sapphic, that's a whole nother genre of uncomfortability depending on who you're watching it with that could get bad quickly.
It could, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give it a 6.
Okay. And as far as being like an awesome movie,
I really liked it. I think I'm gonna give it an 8.
Wow. I can't go that high with it. Again, I think it's a great movie. I think you know, it's definitely worth a watch. I think it's something people should see. I just really don't like Natalie Portman that much.
That's fair.
I don't like her, and I don't like Florence Pugh.
No, that's fair. We all have actors and actresses who we're just not a fan of.
I do like Winona Ryder, so I mean, that was cool. And I do like Mila Kunis. So, I mean, I would give this one maybe like a 6.5 or a 7.
Okay.
You know, I might go for. Yeah, that's about as far as I'm going to go. It's not my favorite. I don't imagine myself watching it again anytime soon.
I think I will.
Well, you have a good time.
I really did. I think
it's on HBO Max right now, so you can enjoy it for as long as it's there.
I know that some of our listeners are not like big movie people, or not like don't want to watch the movies that we generally watch because we're more into the horror and all of that type of thing. But this is one where I would say it, you might like it more than you expect. It was really well done, and I think that they tackle a lot of things that I really enjoy really well, like an unreliable narrator and just like subterfuge and like trying to figure out what's real, what's not real. And one of the things that I was kind of worried about them doing, I think they handled really well with the whole Swan thing. So,
yeah, it's not like a, like when she's kind of doing the Swan thing, it's,
which it, those of you who have watched the movie, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Those of you who haven't watched the movie,
It's a cool effect.
They do it way better than I was expecting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too literal, I guess, like, but it's still pretty literal. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it's pretty cool.
I think they toe that line very well.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Because I think it very easily could have been just not literal enough to where it was like, oh, that's really weird. And it could have been, you know, too literal to where it was silly and not like as creepy cool kind of thing that it ended up being.
So, I mean, you know, and I think the messages are all pretty clear.
Yeah, you are very spoon fed a lot of it.
I think very is, you know, whatever. I think they still do it in a cool way.
I feel like you know
where they're going and why they're going there. But at the end, I think you're still kind of like, what?
Yes, I will agree with you there. I think
the message is clear.
The message is clear. And I think a lot of like the symbolism and stuff is very direct, but I still don't know, well, what is real, what isn't real? Did this happen? Did this not happen? Like, how much of the scene with Lily and like all of that actually happened versus,
I don't think any of it happened,
you know, but she was at her house at
one
point.
I think
point.
She
like,
just
what?
Like dropped her off and was like, see you later.
I don't know. Did anything happen in the taxi cab?
Maybe she was never even in the cab. Maybe she just picked her up and she got home by herself.
Yeah, that's what.
Which is a terrible friend.
That's my thought onto what happened.
It's a terrible friend. Don't do that to your friends.
Don't do that. Always take your friend.
Leave with who you came with.
Yep. Or at the very very least, make absolute certain that your friend got home safe.
Yeah, like that was horrible. And then just don't show up and take their role.
Yeah, don't do that after. That's not cool.
Like, it's not all right.
It's not all right. I think that's pretty much it. Are you ready for a trip down to social media?
I am ready. I'm ready to be done with Natalie Portman for a while. She annoys me.
I didn't realize you had that much of a distaste for her.
I mean, on a scale of like zero to Florence Pugh, I mean, she's not like way up there, but I mean, she just doesn't do it.
Yeah, I know. I think that's fair because we definitely all have like that actor or actress or various actors and actresses who we're just not a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think, you know, is a testament to the movie that I pretty much enjoyed it, even though, like, I don't care for that actor.
That is true.
So, you know, take that for what you will.
Right.
So, I didn't enjoy Midsommar. And I hate Florence Pugh.
I don't like Florence Pugh, and I didn't enjoy Midsommar. But I think I didn't enjoy Midsommar for other reasons than just Florence Pugh.
I think a large part of it was Florence Pugh ugly crying throughout the whole thing. And she was so useless.
And then the flower slug dress at the end that everyone loves. And I'm like, she just looks like a slug made out of flowers. I don't get it.
Didn't even look real.
No, it didn't.
Flowers,
but it was
real.
But
it's stupid.
It is stupid.
And she shouldn't even have been there. She invited herself. You get what you get, and you don't get upset. Uh-huh. God, she should be happy she was May Queen. I've been like, fuck yeah, May Queen, now get the hell out of here, bro. I don't want nothing to do with you. Bye. I'm living a new life in Sweden.
I would never crown her May Queen. Anywho, trip down to Sochmeads. We are on Instagram at @don't_look_podcast. I don't think there's an apostrophe in that don't, just because I don't think they allow them. We have a Don't Look Podcast Facebook page. Our email is don'tlookpodcast, again, no apostrophe, @gmail.com. Are we anywhere else?
You can find me at catsmom75 on Insta.
I'm not on Insta pretty
you
much
have
ever.
One video on TikTok?
We're not going to talk about that. We're I'm not on Insta pretty much ever,
but I tag you in all the stuff.
That is true.
CatsMom75 or the DLP.
So you're welcome to follow me at Catastrophe Nico if you really want to on Instagram, and then
you'll find some cute photos that I post
that my mother posts from my account because I refuse.
I'm an influencer.
She is. She's an influencer.
I'm the black spot.
And that brings us to shout outs. Of course, our standard shout outs. Shout outs to Marshall for doing our intro. It's fantastic. We do. We love it very much. Shout out to Chuck for doing our disclaimer.
Thank you.
I want to give a quick shout out to Billy for redoing our logo.
Can't wait.
I don't know how many of you even noticed that it was completely updated and super cool now, but we are very thankful for that. Yeah, because my wonderful mother did our original, so just to have something that's...
I was forced into it, even though I didn't know what I was doing.
She was. That's, I don't know, easier for me to go in and edit for our special edition episodes and just, like, a higher res and very, like, professionally done is cool.
Well, yeah, we wanted something that talked a little bit more about what we actually
do. Which we will be making into stickers that you may find around town if you're anywhere around us. Or
just around in general.
Just around in general. Or, you know, maybe if you lucky emailer number 15 will get a sticker.
Yeah, maybe. There's some incentive for you. Maybe I'll send you guys some. I don't know.
I want to, but also I sometimes find mail intimidating.
Which I don't understand, because mail is the literal best thing in the whole world.
I like getting mail, but sending mail is like, I'm worried they're going to think that my letter is illegal.
What, I love mail. I send so much mail.
You do.
I'm like, mail, mail, mail.
Maybe you'll send them a sticker.
Probably, because I'm the black swan.
You've got that black swan energy.
I don't send that black swan energy.
You're in your black swan era.
Oh my God, my black swan era. I can only eat grapefruits now.
Grapefruits and one hard-boiled egg.
Yes.
I feel like that's what she had for her breakfast.
Yeah, the only thing that was hard-boiled, I think it was poached. And she was so excited. It's like, oh, it's pink. I'm like, what the frick?
That's what a grapefruit is!
I'm going to be excited for this grapefruit. Put some sugar on there. I'll be into it then.
She said, ooh, look at how big it is.
Did she say that?
She did. I swear to God, she said, look at how big it is.
I thought she said, look at how pink it is.
Either way, ridiculous things to be saying about a grapefruit that you're so excited to eat for your breakfast. Any other shout outs we want to do?
I don't know.
Shout out to East Coast Honors Convention.
Oh, Transworld's East Coast Honors. Yeah, I think Midwest Honors is happening now.
Yes, I just saw that our buds from Dark Hour are heading over.
Yeah, sadly, I have to work.
I know. Boo. Such a shame.
I know. I had to work for the last one, too, but I got off.
Well, next year, I'll probably have time banked up at my job, so we can head on down to that one.
I can't get enough of this wonderful stuff.
No, we cannot. Any other shout-outs? We want to shout out to Ghost for having a movie coming out.
I can't wait.
I think that's pretty much everything as far as shout-outs go. Unless you have any specifics that you want to do.
Mm-mm. No, I think I'm good. I guess we're heading into some busy seasonings right now because
next month starting is
starting Halloween prep, and then next month is Blobfest,
which I think next month's episode will be coming out just after Blobfest. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm gonna
and then
do
we
my,
do our annual shore trip. So
right, I'm gonna do my my Blobfest promo now for the Theatrix. I always feel obliged to do that. If you are interested in vintage horror, please stop by Phoenixville for Blobfest. It is really, there is nothing like it as far as I know, and it's just an absolutely wonderful community event. It's been getting bigger and bigger, it seems, every year, and this year is no exception. There's all sorts of really cool vintage horror movies being shown in the historic theater. There is a street fair on Saturday. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. We always have a really good time. Even if it rains like it did last year.
Oh my God.
We had a huge downpour. It was amazing. But it was still a lot of fun. It's always a good time. There's an after party. There's a blob ball on Friday night. There's an after party at Root Down on Saturday night. I don't know what's going on Sunday this year.
I also am not sure of what's going on Sunday this year.
Yeah, because last year was MST3K Con.
But I don't think they're doing it this year. I think it might be just some more movies again this year, but yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. So plenty of things to do if you're in the greater Philadelphia area and you want to head on down.
Yes, highly recommend. Even if you're not, there's people that travel up from like everywhere to.
There are, and it's just so much fun.
And we guarantee you, we will be wandering around, so you have a chance to meet us, your wonderful hosts from this podcast that no one listens to.
Well, if the Big Eight want to come,
Big Eight, you're all invited.
I'll buy you blob chocolates.
Yeah, and if you're over 21, we'll get you a blob slobber. or what's that good one?
Eaten Alive.
Yeah, which are both local brews from one of the many breweries in Phoenixville.
So many.
Most breweries per capita. Yeah, and then if any religious figures are on or are listening and they want to watch a movie with me.
A horror movie based in the religion that you personally practice.
If you're interested, I'm 100% interested. Let me know. I will probably have questions for you later.
I'm like, interested in being a fly on the wall and seeing how well this turns out.
Does that happen actually? And like, do you guys believe in that thing? Because I'm so interested and curious.
I cannot wait. This is the girl who's scared of mail. I want to remind everyone. This is big talk from the girl who's scared of mail. Okay.
Well, mail is federal.
Uh huh.
Right, and I feel
and I mean, you know, you could claim that religion is your immortal soul. So I mean, you know.
Okay. I might be scared of the mail. But I am not scared of a nice religious figure who wants to watch horror movies, because I think they're probably pretty cool. Especially if they'll entertain a few of my questions.
Cannot wait.
About religion. Cannot wait. Understand.
Can I mention she's also afraid of banks?
I am, for the same reason I'm afraid of mail. I'm worried they're going to think I'm illegal.
Even though it's your money.
That's my money.
You're depositing into your account.
Into my account. I'm not
even trying to cash a check or anything. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Case closed.
All right.
All right, Catherine, so I'm just going
to... I think that wraps us up for season one, episode one of the Don't Look podcast.
I can't believe you just talked over me.
We've been talking over each other this entire episode.
So, look, man. I'm not going to save you when you turn into a swan.
What?
I'm just saying.
Wow.
If you are chilling on the subway or anywhere and you see a person coming down the sidewalk or coming in the window in a reflection and it looks like it's you coming at you, but it's not you because you're you, the best thing I can tell you is don't look.
Listen.
What the hell do I know?
Just like their foot on the floor noise. That's not